This is Dr. Jimmy Nichols, equine nutritionist. On this podcast, we will explore unique cases, debunk popular myths, and break down advanced research data. Join me for a little fun, a lot of science, and some real-world advice for feeding horses.
Welcome to episode 134. It is Dr. Jimmy. Today's episode is going to cover a myriad of hoof conditions, which may or may not interface with the horse's diet. So I think it's important for everyone to first understand that the horse's conformational structure, their genetics, and their overall management of the feet of your horse, so including, you know, what they stand on or in every day, what kind of terrain they're covering each day, the quality of the work, the knowledge of your farrier, the frequency or the consistency of your hoof maintenance, all of these are going to rank above what you do nutritionally for sound feet. But before we get started, this is your friendly reminder to go hang out with me on social media. Find me on Facebook, Instagram. You can search out Dr. Jimmy Feedroom Chemist, or you can type in my handle at Dr. Jimmy. As a reminder, this year I am committed to doing some serious content creation for you guys. And I'm really trying to tailor that for our social media following. So go find me. You can catch weekly mini lessons every Monday. I do word of the week on Wednesdays. And then on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I kind of bounce back and forth between thank yous and transcript releases. So one other thing, just as a little bit of an incentive, if you do submit a review on the Dr. Jimmy Facebook page, or if you post your own testimonial about how Feedroom Chemist has impacted your life, your horse, all of it, and if I choose to share your story on my page on one of those Thank You Thursdays, you'll get a cool little token of appreciation sent straight from me. So, side note, posting a photo with your testimony definitely increases your chances of getting selected. So, I'm making an effort to provide you guys more free content all year, and I certainly could not do that without the support of everyone at Bluebonnet. So if you are liking this, be sure to go let the team at Bluebonnet know that you love Feedroom Chemist. And then one last little thing, just so everyone is aware, I'm not actually taking individual consultations at this time, but the team of nutrition consultants at Bluebonnet Feeds does offer free consultations, and I am the support person for all of them. So if there's a case that needs extra eyes, it's my eyes that go. So rest assured that you are going to get quality work from the team at Bluebonnet, and I certainly hop in anytime that it's needed. So you can request a consult by emailing info@bluebonnetfeeds.com, or you can hop over and fill out an online form to get started right away at bluebonnetfeeds.com/nutrition-consult. All right, let's get on with the show. So I'm sure that most of you have heard the old saying, no hoof, no horse. Now, there's a lot of truth to that statement, and I'm amazed every day at how many people kind of skimp a little bit on the care or consistency of the care of their horse's feet. So a lot of lameness, a lot of soundness issues, a lot of body soreness can all really be traced back to something that has gone wrong in the feet. Now, this is an area where preventative maintenance pays back dividends in your horse's physical well-being and their performance ability. I think sometimes horse owners maybe get a little bit confused over the times where nutrition can help and the times where nutrition cannot help with the situations that they're dealing with their horse's feet. So for this reason, I consulted good old Dr. Google for a list of some of the top foot problems in horses. And so I'm going to go through one by one and explain which of these foot-related conditions can legitimately be helped through nutrition, and then also just point out the ones that generally cannot. So let's start with the very basics. Expired hoof care. Okay. I believe that 99.9% of the listeners of this podcast understand that horses' hooves grow continuously, and it's our responsibility as horse owners to maintain their feet through routine, consistent trimming, right? So a good rule of thumb is to have your horse's feet trimmed every 6 weeks. There are exceptions to this rule. So depending on the horse, the environment, the lifestyle, Some horses may need to be on an every 4 or 5 week schedule, while other horses may be fine on a 7 to 8 week schedule. So that is something, though, that should be determined on a horse by horse basis. Again, not everyone is the same. And your farrier or your veterinarian can certainly help guide you if you are unsure what schedule your horse needs to be on. Now, a horse on a really good nutrition program may actually require more frequent farrier care than a horse that's in a lesser or a poor nutritional status. Okay, the reason here is that the body partitions nutrients in a, quote, survival first pattern. So if the diet is limited in certain areas, the body is going to prioritize nutrients to go towards organs, hormones, those bodily functions that are required to sustain basic life. So it's only after the foundational elements are covered that the body then allows extra nutrients to go towards more secondary areas, such as, you know, skin, hoof, mane, tail, the quality or the thickness or the speed of the hoof growth, right? So have you ever experienced a horse out on pasture that has faster growing feet in the spring and summer compared to the winter months? One reason that this happens is because dormant pasture or even grass hay has less nutritional status compared to lush green pasture. Okay, so when a horse is on pasture, they are likely consuming more energy, more vitamins, more omega fatty acids compared to when they are on hay or when that pasture is dormant in the winter. Okay, so those nutritional surpluses during the spring and summer are often evident in the horse's feet. Okay. Horses with more of a year-round, well-balanced diet, right? Like if they're on, you know, let's say they're on hay all year round and they're on the same grain, they're on the same supplements, like their whole diet is the same all year round, no matter what's going on. Those horses are generally going to have a little bit more consistent hoof growth over the course of the year. So really the only way to speed that growth up is to increase certain components over and above what is required for their basic nutrition. Okay, so for instance, biotin at 25 to 100 milligrams per day, copper, zinc, lysine, methionine, all of these are major players in helping a horse grow quality hoof wall and sole depth. It's important to remember, it can take 12 to 14 months for the hoof to grow out completely. And the only thing that you can impact nutritionally is the quality of the new growth, okay? And sometimes we can impact the speed at which it grows depending on what that diet was to begin with. But we cannot expect a new diet or a new feed or a new supplement or a new program to fix existing hoof structures. Okay, so what is there is there. So when we tackle hoof problems, a lot of times we are playing the long game, which means consistency and doing the right things every single day is what will eventually pay off for your horse. Moving on, let's hit real quick on sole bruises. Okay, this is a common cause of lameness. You know, a horse steps on a rock or a hard object, and it pushes hard enough against the sole that it causes the little tiny capillaries inside to rupture. Okay, this is painful. In fact, a serious bruise may even lead to an abscess, which would need to be drained and soaked. There's nothing really that nutrition can do for a horse with a sole bruise. But if you provide all of the major nutritional building blocks for strong hoof wall and thick soles, your chances of stone bruising can be lower because the soles are stronger, thicker, deeper. They're able to withstand a little bit more pressure. Like I said earlier, biotin, copper, zinc, methionine, lysine, these are all key nutritional players for quality feet, but you have to first have a solid foundational diet in place. Next on the list is thrush. This is the necrotic, smelly, black hoof rot, basically, that becomes apparent in the crevices of the frog. Okay, so this is a situation that develops when the feet are not cleaned out daily, and wet material like mud and manure get packed into the feet, right? Which then allows pathogenic organisms to flourish, and they infect the soft external tissues in the bottom of the feet along that frog. So nutrition cannot cure thrush, but it can play a small role in prevention by making sure that the sole has all of the building blocks necessary for a strong and resilient frog. Now, most important for thrush prevention, though, is keeping the feet dry, keep them clean, and keep them well ventilated, right? So the bacteria and the things that cause the infection don't like oxygen or don't like air. So keep the feet cleaned out, keep them well ventilated, keep oxygen exposed to everything, and you'll be much better off. So like I said earlier, it really is these simple daily acts that will keep your horse's feet healthy. That goes for using the hoof pick on a daily basis, right? And making sure you're getting that oxygen to the frog. And if you live in the desert or extremely dry areas, don't dismiss thrush. Those same pathogens can actually enter a hard foot as well. It's just not quite as common as the horses who are standing around in mud and manure. Another condition is white line disease, also called seedy toe. Okay, this is similar to thrush in the fact that it's caused when bacteria and fungi invade the foot. So this invasion is destroying the tissue right behind the hoof wall, and it becomes evident by like a chalky or a powdery looking inner surface of the hoof. So this typically has to be treated by removing the infected hoof tissue, treating the hoof with antiseptic, and then if the case is really bad, a hoof resection may need to be performed. So this one can spiral out of control really quickly if you're not paying attention. There's not really anything nutritional that will fix white line or seedy toe. It's more of a preventative maintenance situation. So keep the feet clean, keep them dry, keep them trimmed so that they don't develop cracks or crevices, which bacteria and fungi can use to gain access. Speaking of cracks, hoof cracks. This is another common foot concern. So hoof cracks can be either vertical or horizontal. Vertical cracks, especially those originating at the ground, are typically caused by poor hoof quality, maybe overgrown feet, infrequent trimming, or seedy toe or white line disease. So vertical cracks that start at the coronary band and move down, those may actually more likely be due to trauma, or they could be caused by conformational faults within the leg. So the point of this episode is not to dive into all of the potential types and causes of different cracks, but I will drop some helpful articles in the show notes in case anyone does want to fully dig into that. The point here is, though, that cracks are not caused by nutrition alone, and they cannot be resolved by nutrition alone, okay? So cracks require appropriate care and attention from a management standpoint. So making sure that the hoof is balanced is very important. Not letting those toes get too long, paying attention to the kind of ground that your horse is on, right? So keep the horse's feet clean, keep them dry, don't let them get too wet, but also don't let them dry out completely either and become brittle. Definitely try to eliminate or limit the amount of stomping that your horse does, whether that's through fighting flies or even pawing, okay? And then along with all of the aforementioned things, you'll want to make sure that proper foundational nutrition has been laid. And then after that, providing functional levels of nutrition, things like biotin, zinc, copper, lysine, methionine. All of those may help improve the success rate of managing a horse with cracks, depending, of course, on what the original cause of the crack is, right? So for example, if a horse has a damaged area right above the coronary band and that area is not physically capable of producing perfect new hoof growth, right? There's always going to be a defect there in the hoof. No matter what you do nutritionally, that will always be there. So again, nutrition cannot fix everything. All right, let's talk abscesses. I mentioned abscesses just very briefly earlier, but I didn't really explain what those were. So in simple terms, an abscess occurs when bacteria gets trapped inside the hoof wall. Now this can occur when wet weather or dirty stalls, they allow a softening of the hoof, which allows bacteria to enter through like gaps in the white line, through nail holes, through cracks, just to name a few things. So the inside of a horse's hoof is very, I'm going to call it structurally dense. And there is almost no room in there for swelling or movement of anything, right? So as infection takes hold and as pressure builds inside the horse's foot, the horse will become obviously lame and they will be in pretty severe pain. So an abscess should definitely be drained in order to relieve the pain and the pressure. Work with your veterinarian in this situation, as you know, like a lot can go wrong if you try to DIY this little project. Bottom line, nutrition doesn't cause abscesses. Nutrition won't fix abscesses, right? So use the same daily hygiene and management practices as I mentioned earlier to prevent bacteria from being able to enter the foot, okay? Laminitis is next up. Now, here is an area where nutrition can certainly be a cause. It's not the only cause, but it can be one of them. So laminitis is simply a term that means inflammation within the foot, or more specifically, inflammation within the sensitive lamina that connect the coffin bone to the hoof wall. So horses can develop sudden laminitis from non-nutritional things like running high fevers. I actually unfortunately lost a mare due to that. She ran a really high fever, caused extreme laminitis, and ended up having to put her down because of it. So real thing, not nutrition related at all, but high fever. working on really hard surfaces. Compensatory weight bearing due to injury of the opposite limb, right? So one limb is hurt, so they put all of their weight on the opposing limb, and that opposing limb, because it's taking such an excessive amount of concussion and force and weight bearing, that limb can actually develop the laminitis. Laminitis can develop from like systemic inflammatory responses or sepsis, right? So nutrition is not going to play a part in laminitis from any of those causes, but there are certainly causes of laminitis that do interface with the diet. Those would include excessive sugar intake from grain overload, excessive sugar intake from green pasture, obesity, and like consumption of toxic plants, like the black walnut. You know, if you use those shavings, don't use those shavings, because if a horse were to eat those, could certainly develop laminitis. So major key here from a nutritional standpoint, obviously avoid toxic plants and avoid their byproducts. But after that, don't allow your horse to become fat, right? Pay attention to their sugar consumption. Understand that sugar hides in the places that you least expect, like green grass, oats, sweet feed, corn, barley, many horse treats. You know, the obvious ones, peppermints, sugar cubes, fruits and vegetables. Don't give your horse grass clippings, right? The list can go on. So especially if you have a horse that is already a very easy keeper, right? So they stay fat on air. Or if you own a pony, or if you own a mini, or if you own a draft or a draft cross, okay, all of those breeds, all of those types of horses are predisposed to developing metabolic conditions. And ultimately, they can develop laminitis if sugar gets out of control, or if they are allowed to become obese and they develop a metabolic condition, okay? So the key here really is to understand what the starch and sugar levels are of your hay and grain. Work with an equine nutritionist who can help you make sure that your diet is in check when it comes to sugar and total energy going into your horse, right? So a nutritionist can help you with body condition scoring to determine if your horse is becoming at risk of obesity, and they can help you with a plan for getting that diet and that body weight back under control. I'll give you a little secret. Often the easiest and most important step for these horses is to get them off of green grass. Next up on our list of hoof conditions is quitter. So quitter is a term used to describe a chronic infection of the collateral cartilage. So if you're not familiar with where the collateral cartilage is, imagine the area that is just above the coronary band. So again, this is not a nutrition-related condition, and it's typically caused by an outward injury that allows a route of infection to penetrate into the collateral cartilage, and that infection will develop and persist. And horses can have many outward ruptures if the diseased tissue inside is not attended to. So while our minds are on this same physical area of the horse, I'll touch on side bone. So side bone is where the cartilages ossify or harden on either side of the coffin bone. So again, kind of think about that coronary band vicinity. So this can be very painful, but it's not always painful, right? Some horses have it and you never even notice it until you're like looking at radiographs for some other reason. It's like, oh, huh, this horse has side bone. It also is not a nutrition-related condition. So nutrition cannot fix side bones. Side bones are thought to be due to concussive forces. So they're going to occur more often in heavy horses who work on hard surfaces, and they're most often going to be found in the front feet. Now, the last one that I am going to cover is navicular. So navicular disease or navicular syndrome is the inflammation or the degeneration of the navicular bone and its surrounding tissues. So most often this happens in the front feet. You might also hear people talk about navicular, you might hear people call it caudal heel pain syndrome. So this disease, it's progressive, meaning once it begins, it's only going to continue to worsen, and it can become very painful. The cause of navicular, not completely known, but it's thought to be related to genetics, poor conformation of the foot or the distal limb, irregular farrier care, unbalanced hooves, or just general poor shoeing practices. Really, the only thing that we can offer our horses from a nutritional standpoint is some natural anti-inflammatory support. So like the New Zealand green lip mussel and fish oils are both potent anti-inflammatories that I will often suggest for people that are dealing with navicular horses. So for those who are curious what specific products I would recommend, my go-to for navicular, or really for any situation where you're trying to manage pain that is due to chronic inflammation, my two go-to products there are Rewind and Fish Oil Factor. Anytime I'm needing to, let's say I need to grow some thick sole, you know, like I've got a horse that's just like chronically stone bruised or something like that. They've got really thin soles. In those situations, I am typically going to lean on the Hoof Health Program. If I want to provide the daily fundamentals of biotin, zinc, copper, lysine, and methionine in levels that surpass just basic foundational nutrition, my go-to product there is called Nutrimix Plus. And then if I am wanting to make sure that we are covering all of the foundational nutrition needs for a horse, I'm typically going to lean on 101 Diet Balancer. Or if someone needs extra calories or they just want to or need to feed up a little bit more in terms of grain or feed, I'll use one of the feeds in the Intensify family of horse feeds by Bluebonnet. I think that does it for this show. I would love to see photos, though, of the craziest horse hoof situations you guys have. So go drop pictures of your horse's super crazy or super amazing feet on the post for this episode on either Facebook or Instagram. And don't forget, if you need help with a nutrition program, reach out to the team at Bluebonnet. They are happy to help. And don't forget, Bluebonnet is responsible for every Feed Room Chemist episode being available to you at no cost. So go show them some love. Lastly, come hang out with me on social media, right? So you can find me by searching Dr. Jimmy Feed Room Chemist. And I love it when you guys tag me on your own posts by using my handle at Dr. Jimmy. So I promise that my social pages will continue to be a source of positivity and empowerment and continued learning. There are no bad questions and there are no drama on my channels. So if that sounds like the kind of environment that you would enjoy, I would love to have you join the community.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Feed Room Chemist. If you like what you hear, be sure to share with your friends, post to social media, or give us a review. And as Winston Churchill used to say, no hour of life is wasted that is spent in the saddle. So go saddle up.